Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be following the reign of Joash as we pick up today's lesson in 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 1. And now, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
The 12th chapter of 2 Kings deals basically with the reign of Jehoash, also called Joash, in the southern kingdom of Judah. And so it begins that in the seventh year, when Jehu was the king in the northern area of Israel, Jehoash began to reign. And 40 years he reigned in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all of his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. Now, we are told in the previous chapter that Jehoash was only 7 years old when he began to reign. You remember, he was hid by his nurse when he was a year old, and Athaliah had killed all of the royal seed. When he was 7 years old, Jehoiada the priest brought him out, had a coronation ceremony. They crowned him as the king over Judah. And when Athaliah cried treason, treason, they took her out. And they killed her, and Jehoash began to reign. Now in verse 2 it said that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all of the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. During the lifetime of Jehoiada, it seems that he was under the influence of this priest. However, at the death of Jehoiada, we find that there was a real downward trend by Joash. Some of the young princes of Judah came to him, and they desired to return to some of the pagan worship which he allowed them to do. And so idolatry was again introduced into the southern kingdom of Judah by Joash in his later years after the death of Jehoiada. The son of Jehoiada, Zechariah, came to Joash and rebuked him for allowing the return of idolatry. And he had the high priest, Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, put to death because of the rebuke for his evil deeds. So unfortunately, in the latter days, Joash made a very dramatic turn downward. But during the lifetime of Jehoiada the high priest, it seems that under the influence of Jehoiada, he did all right. But his reformation was not a total reformation, in that he still allowed the high places for sacrifices and worship. And the people burnt incense and offered sacrifices in these high places and not always in the temple. The tragic thing about Reformation is that it usually isn't a complete Reformation. Jesus spoke of the difficulty of putting new wine in the old skins. I don't know why, but it seems like anything after a while becomes corrupted. Governments, after a time, become corrupted. With the church, over a period of time, it seems that it becomes weakened, corrupted. Tragically, so many times, those work of God that were begun in the spirit, turned to the flesh for perfection. Paul wrote to the Galatian church, you remember, and he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you would so soon turn away from the truth? Having begun in the spirit, Are you now going to be made perfect in the flesh? Reformation is never complete. There's too much, it seems, to be overcome. When the Lord addressed in the book of Revelation the church of Sardis, which was the church of the Protestant Reformation, his complaint against it was, "I have not found your works complete before the Lord." There was a very necessary reformation against the abuses that had developed within the church. But they didn't go far enough. They still held on to many of the practices that were borrowed from the Babylonian religion, and they were incorporated into Protestantism. And so though there was a reformation, it wasn't a total reformation. The same thing is here. Evidence. They had a reformation under Joash, but not a complete reformation. They still allowed the high places to exist where the people would burn their incense and offer their sacrifices. But the whole system was even rather corrupt, even the priesthood itself at this time. For Jehoash said to the priest, "All of the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that comes into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house wherein any breach shall be found." Now, under the reign of Athaliah, the daughter of Jezebel and Ahab, who had married into the family of the kings of Judah, under her reign, they had built in Jerusalem a temple unto Baal. They had built the temple of Baal by sacking the temple of God. Athaliah had gone in and taken the stones and taken a lot of the timbers and all out of the temple of God to build this pagan temple unto Baal. And so the temple of God was in a state of disrepair. Stones were missing, doors were missing, furniture was missing that she had taken out of the temple of God to place and to make this temple unto Baal. So Joash wants to see the repairs made to the temple. And so there are three sources for the money. He said that they were to take the money of everything that passeth the account. They would take a census in Jerusalem, and in the census, every man had to put a half a shekel into the temple treasury. They wouldn't count people, but they'd count the shekels, so they knew how many people. After the taking of the census by David and the plague that ensued, they would not take a census again in Israel. In fact, to the present day, the people don't like to be counted if they're Orthodox. If you're going to a party in the Orthodox, you need to play a game in which you need to number off. They have a problem, so they'll just say, "You're not one, you're not two, you're not three, you're not four, and you're not five." So you're not really being counted. But to take the census, they would always just count the number of shekels in the treasury, and they knew how many people there were because it was required that every adult place that half shekel in the temple offering. So this money was to be used. And then if you would make a vow unto the Lord and you'd want to buy your way out of it, there was the price of things that were dedicated. "Lord, I give this calf to you. It's your calf, Lord." And later, as it grows up and it is a nice, healthy little, what would the calf become? I don't know, a heifer or whatever. You want to eat the thing. You say, "Well, Lord, you know, I'm going to eat it." So you had to give the Lord. You had to buy it from the Lord. Actually, you dedicated it to the Lord in the beginning. So you have to buy it now from the Lord. That was the redemption. The idea was you were redeeming it from God. your firstborn son had to always be redeemed from the Lord, because the Lord required that the firstborn, he said, belongs to me. And the firstborn of any of your animals belonged to the Lord. And so you would have to redeem those. So that price was to be placed along with free will offerings that people would give to the priest. These were to all be used now to repair the temple that was in a state of disrepair as the result of Athaliah's treachery. And so he commanded that these funds should come from these sources, that the priests who lived in communities and would come and serve for a time in the temple and then go back to the communities. In your communities, collect these sums, bring them, and let's repair the temple. But it happened that after the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priest had not repaired the breaches in the house of God. They didn't do anything. They collected the money, but they didn't do any repairs. So King Jehoash called for Jehoiada, the priest, and the other priest. And he said, "Why haven't you repaired the breaches of the house? Now, therefore, don't receive any more money of your acquaintance." We're going to take money, we're going to gather the money a different way. "But deliver it for the breaches of the house. Don't take it for yourself, but deliver it in." And the priest consented to receive no more money of the people themselves personally, and neither to repair the breaches of the house. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest, and he bored a hole in the lid of it, and he set it beside the altar on the right side as one came into the house of the Lord. And the priest that kept the door therein, all of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. So instead of the priest collecting the money and bringing it in, they just put this big chest in and they bored a hole in the top, and the people as they came in could drop the money into the chest for the repair of the temple. And it was so when they saw that there was a lot of money in the chest that the king's scribe and the high priest came up and they put the money in bags. In these days, they did not yet have coinage. They would just have the chunks of silver. And they would put it in bags, and then they would weigh the bags. And they told the money, or they weighed the money that was in the sacks and that was found there in the house of the Lord. And they gave the money, being told or weighed, into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they laid it out to the carpenters and the builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord, to the masons, the hewers of stone to buy the timber, and they hewed the stone to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord. And for all of that was laid out for the house to repair it. Howbeit, there were not made for the house of the Lord the bowls of silver, the snuffers, the basins, the trumpets, and the vessels of gold, or the vessels of silver of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. But the breaches, the house of the Lord, the temple, was repaired. Of course, it was about 130 years old at this time, so just the natural decay plus that which Athaliah did in dismantling it. But they gave the money to the workmen. They repaired therewith the house of the Lord. And moreover, they reckoned not with the men in whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed upon the workmen, for they dealt faithfully. So there was that rebuilding. The trespass money, however, the sin money, was not brought into the house of the Lord. It remained the priest. So when a person had made a trespass, he was to restore the money. If the person and his family were dead, then the priest was to receive the money. Or if the priest would offer a sin offering for the people, it was customary often for the people to give the priest sort of a love offering kind of a thing for his service for them. So they could keep that money. The rest of it went into the repair of the house. Then Hazael, the king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath. Now, Gath is south and west from Jerusalem. It was one of the major Philistine cities. It belonged to Judah at this time. However, Hazael, the king of Syria, had come clear on that far into the country, had taken the city of Gath, and he set his face to go up to Jerusalem. He began his attack against Jerusalem. He was successful in the beginning of his attack. Though heavily outnumbered, the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before Hazael, and so the king, Joash, took all of the hallowed things that the previous kings, Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his fathers, the kings of Judah, had dedicated. He took his own hallowed things and all of the gold that was found in the treasures of the house of the Lord and in the king's house, and he sent it to Hazael, the king of Syria, and he went away from Jerusalem. Now, in the meantime here, and though it is not recorded here in 2 Kings, it is recorded in 2 Chronicles. During this period of time, Jehoiada had died, and there was that downward kind of a spiritual spiral downward, and the invasion of Hazael was again a judgment of God against the kingdom because of the allowing again of the pagan worship that was requested by the princes of Judah. So he bought off Hazael. He took the money and bought him off, and he returned back to Syria. Now, the rest of the acts of Joash, all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Yes, they are. And when we get to the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah, we'll come across Joash again, and we'll have a little fuller account in the Chronicles than we have here in 2 Kings. Now, his servants arose and made a conspiracy, and they killed Joash in the house of Millo, or at Beth Millo, which goeth down to Silla. Now, just where Beth Millo is, we don't know. It is a place that has not yet been uncovered, but no doubt one of those many tells that are there in around the area of Jerusalem. One of those they'll discover one day is Beth Millo, and this scripture will then be explained. But as yet, they have not discovered Beth Millo. For Josachar, the son of Shemeath, and Jozabad, these are the guys that killed him, the son of Shomer, his servant, smote him, and he died, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. So the 12th chapter devoted to the reign of Joash. It was a tragedy in that starting off well under the influence of Jehoiada, reforms were made. They weren't complete, but in the end, because of the incomplete reforms, the corruption took over and there was that downward turn of the kingdom. The necessity of total types of reformation is shown. Partial commitment will not do. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You cannot have divided loyalty. In our commitment to the Lord, it's got to be a total commitment. Giving of ourselves completely over to the Lord is so important. If we try to, you know, keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church, it's not going to work. If we remain in that condition, the only thing you can do is corrupt the church. And if the church allows people, you know, to sort of try and do the balance act, in order to hold the people, we compromise and say, oh, well, come and worship on Sunday and then, you know, go for it during the week. It's going to bring the whole system down. We've got to make a stand. We've got to cut ourselves off from the things of the world and make a full dedication unto the Lord, or else those corrupting forces will ultimately corrupt the whole thing. As Paul warned the Corinthian church concerning the corrupt individuals within it, he said, get rid of them. Don't you realize that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? You allow that evil to exist, it's going to pollute the whole thing.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse study of 2 Kings in our next lesson, as we continue to follow the downward spiral of the nation. and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study in the book of 2 Kings. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing prayer.
Father, we covenant with you, acknowledging you as our God. And we thank you, Father, that you have made a new covenant with us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Covenant now that is based upon your faithfulness in keeping your word. A covenant that shall stand forever. Because your word, Lord, will stand forever. And so, Lord, we want to be your people. We want you to be the first and the highest priority of our lives. We want to love you, Lord, with all of our hearts, and with all of our minds, and with all of our souls. And Lord, we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we thank you that you have given to us the capacity and the power to do so. That which we could not do in and of ourselves, you have done for us through Jesus Christ. And so we yield our lives to him, that he might dwell within us, and through his power, we might be all that you want us to be. For his glory, amen.
Looking for direction and understanding? The truth is, our world values knowledge, but people don't always strive to know the most important things. You may be extremely knowledgeable about something, but if you don't have the wisdom of God, you're missing the most important knowledge a person can ever hope to attain. Join the tens of thousands who have benefited from reading Pastor Chuck's devotional, Wisdom for Today, which takes you systematically through the entire Bible, one day at a time. Start each day with biblical wisdom as Pastor Chuck gives practical, everyday examples in which to draw God's wisdom for your daily life. To order Wisdom for Today, a leather hardback for yourself or a loved one, please call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online where you can read a preview at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.